Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the 11th Psalm. The 11th Psalm. By the way, there might be people that sit over here that go, how come we're not hearing it like we hear it over here? The answer is simple. This speaker is working. That one is not. We're working on it, chasing it down. There are those that have the wherewithal that understand what is taking place. But the cure is coming. This psalm I preached from 8 years ago. It was a time when there were people who were somewhat troubled what was going on in our nation. It's the same thing now. And like we heard from Brother Mike Schrock, who quoted what I've quoted out of Peter, that as those things in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, I'm repeating these things to you. In fact, I'm writing them down so you will be reminded of them after I am gone. This is something that we need to go back to every once in a while, and I hope and pray that you see why and you understand that although in beginning, it's like so many times in the Psalms, it seems to be negative, the fact of the matter is it will go positive and we have an indestructible foundation. But we're going to begin with verse 1 with David in Psalm 11. David wrote, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Would you please turn to the New Testament and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, one verse that we'll be looking at next week. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11, 1 Corinthians. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who? The same yesterday, today, and forever. When we look around of our culture, the unthinkable has become the tolerable, and the way they do on several levels is absolutely beyond me. Our work is obvious what we need to do. Now, up in every church, and I don't know what everybody's background is. We just heard from a young lady who had a background in drugs and alcohol. I don't know what yours is, but we rejoice in this. According to 1 Corinthians 6, as Paul is speaking of so many of the sins of the church, of the city of Corinth, he makes this statement, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're clean. That's not the last time you're going to hear that verse. We're going to be getting back to it when we are in 1 Corinthians. But there are sins that God can forgive. I know, I understand somebody says, well, what about against the Holy Spirit? We'll talk about that another time. But the point is this, everything, adultery, abortion, pornography, gambling, drugs, alcohol, you name it. I mention it because we have a culture that is battling our God. And in doing so, is seeking to normalize, to make acceptable, in fact, to make applaudable some of the things that at one time in our nation, they were absolutely unthinkable. But we don't focus on that. We focus on Him. We focus on our God. Amen? So here's David in Psalm 11. This is what he's up against. Now stop and think about this. I mean, there are times we wind up reading this and it's like there's kind of a distance, and because we don't see it in living color from our televisions, you know, we're just a little bit distant from it. But I want you to stop and understand, you've got a young man who has been walking with his Lord. He has desired to do what is right. And one of the ways he has desired to do what is right is with his nation, because he recognizes his nation's place with his God. And so for that reason, we have found in the Old Testament David coming before us. The first major way we see him is battling Goliath. And then he winds up playing for Saul, while Saul is enduring an evil spirit from God because Saul decided to disobey God. And now that David has gotten more and more into the picture, Saul has gone south when it comes to his attitude, not only to his God, but also to God's people, thinking specifically of David. And so what do we find? We find the king of Israel seeking greatly to destroy not only an innocent man, but a loyal man. Now stop and consider this. Ask yourself, has anybody in your life ever been this vicious towards you? Now, I know some people say, well, maybe not exactly like that, but I tell you what, there have been some tough times. I can imagine there is, and there has been. But if there has been, if there is now, let's take David's attitude. Let's remember what he is saying. And remember this, that David's response is a joy to embrace. If you're taking notes, could you write down a couple of things, please? First of all, I want you to write down facing fear. Facing fear. Underneath that, with verse 1, write down David's trust. Look at this, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? David trusted his God. There was just a few of us that were around because of a memorial service yesterday for Cecil Callison. And so we had some folks that were gone, and then others that were sick weren't able to make it. So there was just a few of us for men's prayer breakfast, but it was a great time. The Lord has laid on my heart that one of the things that we need to study this year is faith in various aspects. But in thinking about that, I got to thinking about David. His faith is showing greatly here. How can you say to me, listen, you need to get out of here? By the way, that can be our first response when we're having difficulty. You think I'm kidding? Watch this. How many of you, because of the situation, and I want you to be honest, how many of you, because of the present situation, how many of you thought about moving out of the state of California? My hand is up. Yeah. And Edgar just said, shh, don't tell him our plans, you know. You know, so many of us have. Now, I don't know what God is doing in your life. I am not here to judge that. But I just know that God spoke to my wife and I, this place is ministry. This place is ministry. I mean, we've got people that are saying, I'll go to this mission field and I'll go to that mission field. Welcome to the mission field. And you know what's great? You already speak the language. Listen, I love Nehemiah's response in the challenge. I just read this in my devotions just not too long ago. In Nehemiah chapter 6, he said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Somebody was telling him, hey, you need to get into the temple. They won't kill you there. No. No. Martin Luther was warned about those that wanted to kill him. He finally wound up in a castle of a German hierarchy person, a German individual that had means to protect him. And finally, he could face it no longer. What in the world am I doing in here? He walked out into the streets of where he lived and penned the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Folks, a mighty fortress is our God. We carry our protection with us. We carry it with us. Satan's greatest triumphs come when he can get the Lord's people, watch for it, to distrust the Lord. He's doing that everywhere. That's what he's doing. We love places of safety. I love it because when you're in that kind of a situation, when the door is locked, when you're secured in your person, your body can rest because your mind is at rest. You're at ease. You're not thinking about something that could take place at any moment. You're not thinking that. I praise God, I'm not fearful of our doors being busted through by the government, not here in America, not yet at least. But here we are, we're worshiping God. There's none of that that's going to happen. David's trust was exactly where it was needed. But there comes a time when all of a sudden it is troubled. It's the same thing that can happen with us. Family trouble, job trouble, national decline. All of a sudden, your security bubble pops. David, still facing what he faced, wrote this, David's trust. But look at David's troubles. Verse 2, "For lo," he wrote, "the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." That word privily can mean in the dark. Cowards come in the dark. Wicked people come in the dark. And all of a sudden, they're attacking you. I don't know why it is. I woke up about 5 o'clock this morning. I like getting up early on Sunday. You know, there's prayer, praise and thanking the Lord. But I picked up my phone to just check what time it was, what the weather's doing. And I just popped up the email, and there was an email that came in 2 hours before, so about 3 o'clock. Somebody got on Google and gave our church a 1-star review. They didn't write anything, they just 1-star review. I have no idea who this person is. And I thought, there it is. It might be somebody that they were just going to all the Bible preaching churches in Sacramento. 1-star. 1-star. I don't know. But, the fact of the matter is we've got people out there that hate us. We didn't do anything to make them hate us except stand with our Lord and Savior. That's why we want to do that. Remember what I talked about last Sunday. No, 2 Sundays ago. Remember Daniel? What was it about Daniel? The enemies of Daniel said, listen, this is what we've got to do. We're only going to be able to get Daniel through his God. That's the way we want it. That's the way we want it. Just this last week was the birthday of a man that introduced me to the church here. His name's Harvey Seidel. He was driving through Wyoming, and there was a pastor that he knew in Wyoming. He came in, I think it was in Cheyenne, he came in to a gas station to get diesel for his truck, and he just happened to look down at the counter, and there was a name of a pastor he knew. And that note said, "Do not take a check from," and it mentioned the name of the pastor. So he kind of acted like, a little ignorant and, oh, there's a problem here. Oh, yeah. This guy's checks bounce all the time. Gotten sick of dealing with it. We're not going to be taking any checks from him anymore. Folks, that's sad. That's sad. I pray that if we have difficulty, if we have trouble, obedience, and not because of sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to pray for each other. Amen? That's why we need to listen to series like we heard this last week. Building on our faith, virtue, knowledge, etc., etc. That was great stuff. David's troubles, whisper campaigns, criticism couched in a spiritual problem. No, no, no. Not that. The situation with David was growing more and more troublesome. It threatened his heart's determination to trust God. You know, honestly, when I see what's happening today and people are viciously going after those who simply stand for what is right, we are living in the day where there are those that are calling good evil and evil good. Look, if you stand for biblical marriage, if you stand for the life of the unborn, if you stand for purity in living, there are those that will come after you with a vengeance. Now again, that's not negative because you know where we're going. You can count on it. If you have trusted Christ, you've got a target on your back. But I praise God for this. I've got Jesus in my heart. And that is where our joy is. Look at verse 3 and write this down. David's turning point. This is what he's showing us. He says, if you're listening so far, I've got this to share with you. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now that's to get us to think. You see the word foundations? It can be translated the settled order of things. The settled order of things. There's a certain way where you build a foundation. There's a certain way where you build a building. That's what David was hearkening to. He was likening society, to a building, and it all sets on a foundation. In Israel, there was a foundation. It was the law of Moses that God had given Moses. With us, it's the Word of God. But if the foundation begins to crumble, watch out. If the foundation begins to give way, watch out. David, here's the key, and we need to hear this. David was placing his eyes where his enemies would or could not. Do you have your eyes on Christ? Oh, come on. We've got the Savior. We've got our God. My wife and I were out yesterday and I was telling her, you know, honey, based on some things that we read in the scripture, the fact of the matter is our eyes are held back from seeing what is eternal. But you stop and think, remember what Elisha did? Servant, what did he pray when they were surrounded by the enemies of Israel there in Syria, coming from Syria? He said, Lord, open his eyes. And what did he see round about that piddly little human army? Chariots of fire. He saw the people of heaven, the angels of heaven, they were there. And I tell you what, they don't need any AR-15 to get things done. They've got the power of God. Amen. Listen, that's what we have, see, right here. When Stephen was being stoned, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. He spoke that, and the enemies of the gospel absolutely went nuts. But that's what we've got. So you know what? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't have to worry. Satan, his minions, his wicked men, and even blinded professors of professing believers are busy destroying so many foundations. They're giving way. There is pressure coming from culture. It's coming on organizations. It's coming on local churches. It's coming on individual believers in jobs where because of their Christian walk, they're told, you can't have this. You can't have a Bible, on your desk. You can't have a Bible verse there in front of your desk. You can't have any of this. That's going on right now. I mean, stop and consider it. Our church supports two organizations that exist because they desire to help us keep our liberty. That's where we're at. We need to listen to this. We need to listen carefully. You and I need to grow in Christ. Again, we heard that this last week. Don't be swayed by the culture. This will not stop. It's not going to end. But neither will the power of God and the love of Christ in our lives. There will be people, as the Lord tarries, there will be people that can be discouraged. You will hear, just like I heard this last week, and I'm not going to tell you about it right now, but it was so sad to hear a man speaking what he spoke and who he was representing that was giving way to wickedness. And I have no idea why. Because he preaches from the same Bible I've got. And I look at it and I say, I'm sorry. You're misquoting. You're leaving things out. You're bringing things in. I'm sorry. I don't know why you're saying what you're saying, but it's wrong. It's wrong. But that's the way things are today. Do you remember that song, Wise Man Built His House Upon a Rock? Wise man built his house upon the rock. Right? You know? Now, I shouldn't have mentioned it because Kathy, now she wants to get up here and lead us in that. Right, Kathy? Are you right now? Really? Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat the same spiritual meat and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And all through the Bible, what do we find? Cain built his life on the sand. Abel on the rock. Noah on the rock. The world. Abraham on Christ. Lot on the sand. Joseph on the rock. Moses on the rock. Daniel on the rock. Ezra on the rock. Nehemiah on the rock. The apostles on the rock. The Pharisees on the sand. And that's why we get sad. Because this nation, that at one time so much of it was built on the rock, is now building on the sand. I called my son this last week. This last week I don't know, you know how you sometimes you stop and you just kind of muse and you think a little bit? I don't know about you, but my heart breaks. And I think, you know, by God's grace, those of us who maybe the hair is gray, et cetera, and maybe we see so many things going to the younger generation. By the way, that's going to continue, and I praise God for it. But we've got to do what we can do. Because what I see coming down the road, I don't like. Do you? Then by God's grace, let's do something. Let's pray. Let's intercede. Let's support them. Because again, what I see, it saddens me. It absolutely saddens me. Finding faith, that's what David did. He found faith in his God, and because of that, write this down. Look at verse 4. Because of what he had, first of all, he saw where the Lord sits. And he's beckoning to us to do the same thing. Here we are. It saddens us. It saddens me. And David is saying, hey, I want to remind you of something. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Hey, Babylon, big throne. Rome, big throne. Grace, big throne. And now we see nations today. America, strongest nation on earth. Nothing compared to the throne of God. Absolutely nothing. We wonder at times, and I do, we wonder at times what our God is doing. Once again, right here, this coming Friday morning at 7 a.m., pastors will be gathering. We will be praying for revival like we have been for the last several months. And if anybody wants to come, 7 o'clock Friday morning right here, we'll be praying for it, desiring it. I don't know what God is doing, but I do know this. He's doing something. He is calling us to His work. We're praying, God, would you intervene? I do know this. He wants us to occupy till He comes. Where the Lord sits, may we always see it. Hey, secondly, write this down at the end of that verse. What the Lord sees. I like this. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. How many of you ever did this, you know, when your kids were doing wrong? You're looking at them. You know, you're watching them as they're explaining what they did. But then you do this. Now, when you were young and somebody in authority, especially your parents, looked at that, what did you feel at that time? Heat that was possibly coming to a specific area of your body when you bend over. This is what the Lord is saying. We get an idea that God looks down on us. What if He's doing this to you? And this, I believe, is exactly what He's doing. All right. Now, who's listening? I know about a difficult situation in such and such a person's life. Is he thinking about what he needs to get right? That can go for the pastor. That can go for people. It can go for anybody. Do you understand what he's saying? This is what the Lord sees. So often we think, you know, Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I want you to do something. He says, I am. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you. And I'm looking in you. Now, we can hear that. We might even say amen. But does it really make a difference in our lives? Come on, we're family. We understand this. What's he doing? What's he seeing? I mean, again, I praise God, like this last week, what we heard. Is it going to be something that we'll exercise in our lives? Is it something that we're going to go, you know what? I've got to remember that. Add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge, on and on and on and on and on. Why? It's got to be complete. I've got to grow. Do you have it in your heart that you really want to grow in Christ this year? Amen? I do not want to be the same person at the end of this year that I was at the beginning. I just don't. Just don't. What the Lord sees, God puts men in the crucible because He wants to make them reveal themselves as either dross or silver. We think about the stories that we've heard about spying from tech companies, from glitches in software that can take place, say, on a cell phone. There's nothing like what God sees. Nothing at all. You know, we quote this verse. I've quoted it often, the last verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the last verse in Revelation 20. But listen to this, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. God is writing every day. He's writing us, by the way. Not our sins. They're under the blood if we trusted Christ. but our works, wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stone, we'll be looking at that next week. Watch this. Look at verse 5, how the Lord selects. See, this is what this is talking about. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Now stop and consider this. There are people today that, just like Solomon spoke of in Proverbs chapter 8, I believe it is, all those that hate me love death. There are people that absolutely go after the innocents. When it comes to them, I wouldn't want to be them. Had a great time reading a story yesterday of a woman who was in the abortion business. Her husband begged her to get out of it. She says, no, no, no. And finally, the people who were in big in the abortion industry came to her and said, you're fired. We don't think you're completely with us. And it suddenly occurred to her, you know what? I'm not. And now, praise God, she's helping save lives. The Lord trieth the righteous. Why? He wants gold, silver, precious stone. He uses the word. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know that. He knows the situation of every person on earth. He knows the difference between a King Saul and a Saul of Tarshish. Look at verse 6. Write this down. What the Lord sends. Okay, this is what he sees. This is how he selects. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. I find it fascinating how there are people that are caught in their own logic when it comes to things. And I'm not going to go into detail about this. Their own logic when it comes to how culture is moving along. They're catching themselves in their own words, but for some reason it doesn't matter. He says here, verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. You know, we pray for our nation, and we need to pray for it. Amen? But there's going to be times that there's going to be some difficulty come along. There's going to be times when we're thinking, oh my soul, Lord, we got to pray for this person. We got to pray for this situation. The Lord's already working. He's got something he's doing. By the way, let's remember this, and I have to remind myself this all the time. I have an assembly member that doesn't want to talk to me for nothing. I still pray for him. He's got two daughters. He's got a wife. He's got a family. He is a human being. He needs Jesus. Amen. Next month, my wife and I are going to Washington, D.C. There's been a situation that comes up. We absolutely need to help and support what's going on there. Yesterday, I requested to meet with our two state senators there in Washington, D.C. We are on absolutely polar opposites when it comes to politics. They still need Jesus, don't they? They need the Lord. They need the Lord. Upon the wicked, oh yeah, these things take place. But there's something else. There's the gospel that they need. They need what we know. Look at verse 7, what the saint knows. For the Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. What's going to happen in the end? Jesus is going to win. Who's going to be with Jesus? Those that belong to him. Absolutely. We will see him as he is. Evangelist Ron Comfort was here before. He was here for two-minute warning, and we had him for a week of meetings. Remember him preaching a message on Zacchaeus? I loved it. Especially, he talks about it because he's kind of short himself. He said he found four things with the story with Zacchaeus. He sees me. He knows me. He wants me. He loves me. You know, whatever happens in this life, you know what we can rejoice in? He sees us. He knows us. He wants us. He loves us. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We've got to ask ourselves, what are we building on? Next week, Lord willing, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But meanwhile, if the foundations be destroyed, if Satan continues to do what he does, if the flesh of fallen man continues to do what they do, what can the righteous do? They can see him. They can understand he sees us. And we know what he knows, and we rejoice in what he's made us. Let's pray.